Football at 4 on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Football at 4. D-Mac, you see this story. I know you did. Peyton Manning to Monday Night Football?
Yeah, I love that idea. We'll see what Peyton does there, but I think it's a cool idea.
Jimmy Pitaro, the network's president, and Connor Schnell, its executive VP for content, they flew here to Denver just last week to try to woo Peyton Manning out of retirement and back into the booth. This is according to the Hollywood Reporter, which noted that there's no indication on what Manning's actual level of interest may be.
Well, Peyton did try to do something in football. He tried to buy a team.
That's right, Panthers, right?
Yep, didn't work out, but he was in the mix. He films that details thing over at the Broncos facility.
That's right.
And I was talking to some Broncos people over there today, and they just said, yeah, he really enjoys it. He looks forward to it. He gets into it. They help him out on a technical side of things. And, it's just once a week sort of thing, but it's something that he enjoys. So ultimately, Monday Night Football is just that. You study two teams. You talk to people that, everybody's going to love you. You roll into town and it's a big deal that you're there. And then you just cruise right out. It's fun. I don't know. I was saying, Peyton's got school age kids now, like they weren't, but he's got twins.
Right.
I mean, you're a ways away from this, but once you drop the kids off at school, Zach, what are you going to do? You going to go see a movie? I mean, my point is there's only so many days you can drop the kids off at school. I mean, I guess you can drop them off and pick them up every day, I suppose, but there's huge chunks of time. You're not volunteering. You could, I guess, volunteer in the classroom too. But there's
like a classroom dad. It's Peyton.
It could happen. I know that he has signed his kids up for just like other rec league sort of things that any parent would do. He's being a dad. He's being a dad of a couple of young kids. But Monday Night Football doesn't crush you on that one. It really doesn't.
Well, you're right. It doesn't crush you on that one, but I think we got to remember what Monday Night Football actually entails, and that is leaving town Thursday evening.
Not necessarily.
Well, in most cases.
Not
because,
necessarily.
Well, I'm just telling you, in most cases, the production meetings are Friday through the day. So, like, either you're flying out Friday morning or Thursday
night.
For
Monday Night Football?
For Monday Night Football.
I thought they did their meetings, like, on Saturday. You sure? I mean, usually in the NFL world,
I'm taking a step back here because I'm thinking of Stink's Sunday schedule for Monday, maybe push back.
But yeah, Fridays are the network meetings if you got Sunday games. But I don't know for Monday. I think it's Saturday.
But I think it's still the equivalent, right? Like
you
do the game on Monday instead of
you live
Sunday.
You live in Denver. I guess you could get in Southwest. Maybe you call 24 hours. You hope you get on like A32 or something like that. But most likely, you could probably fly out. Peyton could probably make some arrangements where, they take care of the flights.
So what are we talking about, though? If he's doing Monday Night Football.
You're not in a crazy world, Zach, where living in Denver, like, give me a Monday Night game. The Detroit Lions are playing the Green Bay Packers in Detroit. You're not out of the world of possibility where you could fly into Detroit Saturday morning, fly back home Saturday night and be with your family Sunday and Monday. And then
fly back out Monday?
Yeah, you could do it.
I just don't. Look.
You ever fly private?
I don't know. No, I have not.
I've done it 3 times. It's awesome. I did it once.
I can imagine.
I did it once with a bunch of friends when we were in our 20s and we were in Buffalo. And just on St. Patrick's Day, we just flew to Pittsburgh. We just rented a plane and flew to Pittsburgh to watch the Sabres play hockey.
Sabres were hot then.
They were pretty hot then.
Dominic Hasek.
Mike Pekka was my man.
Alexei
Zitnik.
Matthew Barnaby, Rob Ray.
Learned how to speak English by watching the Jerry Springer Show.
Right?
That is correct. Anyway, you see where I'm going. If it's an East Coast game, okay, you're probably stuck there. But, you know, listen, you could do it. And I think they would make certain arrangements.
Concessions for Peyton?
If Peyton's doing it, it is must-watch TV.
Sure.
In my opinion.
He's not quite Booger.
He's 10,000 times better than what Booger McFarland would be.
The Boogermobile.
You may as well bench Booger. First of all, I can't even imagine a three-person booth if you had Peyton Manning. What a waste of time that would be.
Right. No, it wouldn't happen. But I'll say this about Booger in Booger's defense. Booger keeps it 100.
Well, Booger was better than Jason Witten, who was terrible.
Like, Booger called Vaughn out. Remember the Kansas City Monday night game? He said, late in the third, Vaughn had a tackle near the goal line. He said, "Welcome to the football game, Vaughn Miller."
I remember.
Peyton ain't saying that. Peyton's not that kind of critic. And if why he turned a job down last year. He said, I'm not ready to be a critic right now.
Yeah, but Peyton's funny. And Peyton would have other kind of... Peyton's kind of snarky, too. So... You know, Brendan Langley probably wouldn't like him, but the vast majority of us would really enjoy him. I mean, we would get it.
Yeah, he would kill it, dude.
He could have probably done a little better on that one. Something like that, rather than, hey, welcome to the game, Vaughn Miller.
Right.
Essentially, you'd be saying the same thing, but you'd be more clever about what you're saying. I think Peyton would be unbelievable. If he wants to do it, I think it would be great, Zach, because... If he really does want to be a president or owner of a team, it's a great way to sort of just get back into the mix of things. So, you know, I hope he does whatever he wants to do, but it would make sense.
I'll say this. Who would vote against it? Knowing that I know.
That'd be great.
Everyone would love it, right? Unfortunately, my gut tells me this isn't going to happen. Because
why?
Because his weekends would be taken away. And I think that
I just told you how he could do it.
No, dude, he's not flying four different flights in a 48-hour period every single week of the football
private
season.
Private planes, dude.
It's pretty
awesome. You pull up, you get on, they leave, you get back on, it comes home.
I'm just telling you what I think. I don't think...
Some word scrabble on your phone, you're home.
I don't think he's going to give away his weekends where that's where his kids aren't going to school and they have like family trips and whatnot. And
dude, there's so many family trips you can do.
I'm just telling you what I think.
How many times have you taken your one-year-old to the zoo?
Zero.
Oh, that's smart. There's only so many times the kids want to go to the zoo. I'm telling you. And you're home all... This is a part-time job.
We don't believe in the zoo, the buy house. Caged animals.
Oh, okay. Oh, there's a little activism there. All right.
I would love for it to happen.
Don't tell Scott the Huff. You'll ruin his life if you tell him that.
I'm kind of half kidding.
That dude loves the zoo.
We're going to bring him to the zoo at some point.
You don't have to.
And I'm saying that's what captivity looks like.
Oh, my gosh. Wow. All right.
I would love for it to happen. My gut tells me it doesn't. Does your gut tell you eventually this will happen?
It's such a good opportunity, and he'd be so good at it, and it would probably be fun. So it's hard for me to imagine him not doing it at this point, but I know he wants to. I feel like he wants to own a team or run a team to some context. He's very patient. He takes his time with every decision he makes. So we'll see. But this is a really, really great opportunity, and he would be incredible at the job. We'll see.
D-Mac, I opened up SportsIllustrated.com this morning, and I looked at a mock draft, and I shook my head and said, how are we still doing this? I'll explain why next. Mm.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
Open SportsIllustrated.com today, and I saw another mock draft.
Yeah.
It's mock season, right?
I love the mock drafts.
And now we take them a little bit more seriously. Not like we put an overemphasis on it, but it's post-splashy free agency moves. So a lot of the moves that were in mocks 3 weeks ago don't quite make sense. So now that you put a little bit more creed into it, Connor Orr of Sports Illustrated, SI.com. He released his latest mock draft today. And I just kind of shook my head. Because you have people, smart people, who study this league, study the draft. This is what they get paid to do, like Connor Orr. And he's got the Broncos taking Drew Locke at number 10. He's got John Elway going back into the first round quarterback pool and taking Drew Locke. Someone that Woody Page said a couple months ago, draft day, John Elway will take Drew Locke.
So he's got Orlando getting a tattoo.
He's got Orlando. How about that?
I love that bet.
What was Orlando thinking there?
I think Orlando's making a safe bet. But go ahead.
No. I just in my own mind, I put quarterback at 10 out of mind.
Well, there's more to this. There's more. I mean, it's not just Drew Locke.
He's got him trading back into the first round with the Raiders at 27, who they got the pick from Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got them taking the center out of NC State.
Yeah, that's the number one center in the draft.
Garrett Bradbury.
Yep. You know, the amount I could tell you about centers, it could fit on my, you know, thumbnail. But I can tell you Garrett Bradbury is the center. He's rated the top center in this year's draft. He's the guy this year. He's the Quentin Nelson of centers in this particular draft. I've seen him, you know, going in the second round all over the place. So, okay. Interesting move. But the Drew Locke part of it is just ridiculous at this point.
It's just ridiculous.
I think so. And by the way, we'll see who the Broncos bring in for official visits. And I don't know, maybe they will. You get 30 of them. But Drew Locke makes like no sense based on Joe Flacco. I mean, what is the point? And how in the world does Drew Locke help you win this year and go 10-6 and make the playoffs? He doesn't. And because Trevor Siemian makes way more sense as a backup, or even Josh Rosen. I mean, somebody who has NFL experience, because we've already figured it out that John Elway doesn't care about, you know, developing quarterbacks. So, I don't know what Connor Orr's thinking here, but my guess is that he doesn't really know the Broncos all that well. So I think this is silly and will never happen. And if you want to talk about moving back into the first round to get Bradbury, again, I think that's dumb. I mean, if you really love him, I think you'd probably pick him up in the second round. Or maybe just move up in the second round if you are dreaming about getting the fifth-year option on a center. But you have to understand, they really do like Connor McGovern. I mean, they really do like Connor McGovern, Zach. And I'm not saying Sam Jones won't go in there and compete, and I'm not saying they may draft a center, but this makes, like, no sense to me. Zero sense to me. I don't see how this could possibly happen.
You're stunned level if you did, because we got to remember that this is John. That, like, I never want to say that I know what John's thinking.
Well, John doesn't know what he's thinking, so that's probably a pretty fair assumption.
Do you think at all? Is there any way, shape, or form that John is still pliable at 10 when it comes to quarterback? That there's still something there in limbo.
No.
No, it's totally out of mind.
Can't even imagine it. And we'll see who they bring in for visits. But by the way, we also know in Broncos land, you know, because we are, Zach, you know, we're not in Broncos country. You realize we are in Broncos land.
Bronco land.
Oh, where's my Bronco land?
Oh, please.
Oh, I got it.
Welcome to Bronco land.
That's right. When you're in Bronco,
welcome to Bronco land,
anything's possible. In Bronco land, you have mock drafts where you never see Bradley Chubb appearing on any of your mocks. You don't invite him in. You still draft him. Those things actually do happen.
Welcome to Bronco land.
I just figured when you have to make the biggest choice once a year, you'd want to talk to the guy. So I was definitely proven wrong on that. So my common sense on that is just, like, you know, it's out the door.
Welcome to Bronco land.
But
with Chubb, and I'm not going to make excuses for John, because you need to meet with everyone you draft. And
it seems absurd not to, doesn't it?
It does. And I really question how much time they spent with Paxton Lynch before they drafted him.
Not enough.
If any time. I talked to a lead scout for a team in the NFC at the Senior Bowl last year who said we had Paxton out to dinner with myself, the general manager, and the head coach. They said within 15 minutes of the dinner, they had taken him off their board. They all knew that it was just not a possibility. They were not going to invest in Paxton Lynch. Apparently what they had said was he appeared on Gruden's camp, like Gruden, you know, before Gruden came back, and Paxton turned all the way around in his chair and watched himself on television and put his back to the GM, the head coach, and the lead scout. If I believe if you had spent legitimate time with Brandon Langley, Carlos Henderson, Paxton Lynch, you probably don't draft those guys. But with Chubb, he was a little bit different. Again, I'm not coming to his defense, but he's a little bit different because anyone that had spent any time with Chubb knew just how sterling his reputation was. So maybe they didn't think it was.
It just doesn't make sense to draft a quarterback this year, Zach. It just doesn't. They showed some interest in Blake Bortles. There's guys like that. Just go get Trevor Siemian if you really want to. You got a couple million to, I think they got like $12 million total after they got to pay like 8.4 to rookies. They got like 12 left. Just go pick up Trevor for 3 or 4 and just be done with it.
Bring him back. Team Trev. Team Trevor.
Brought back. Bring Brock back. Why not bring Trev back?
Register for the Fans 5K Bracket Challenge presented by Breaks Plus. Compete against us. I saw a D-Max bracket. Oof. Host your office pool. Your chance to win $5,000. Register at 1043thefan.com. Why were Pritchard and Cecil calling us out earlier today? Details next.
It's The Drive on Sports Radio 1043 The Fan.
Taking some heat on Pritchard and Cecil earlier today. It's like kind of like, you know, what are they smoking type conversation.
Well, I gave the Broncos an A in free agency, and so did you.
Sure.
So I'd like to hear why that isn't accurate.
Well, it was just sort of like, hey, you know, they were talking about a 5-win team. I'm trying to summarize what they were saying. Hey, you're talking about a 5-win team. You're talking about a 6-win team. How could you possibly hand out or associate a letter grade like an A with this franchise that has been on this downturn? Which, of course, isn't the idea of what we're doing. We weren't grading the Broncos of the past couple of years. We're grading them on what we think the future move is going to be.
Is the quarterback better?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Is your offensive line better? In the Broncos' mind, yes. Especially because I heard Cecil talk about, oh, I'm only going to take points off for Matt Paradis. Well, you have to understand something. The Broncos were never, ever going to offer him a multi-year deal.
Was that a mistake, by the way?
No.
In your mind?
No. No. I saw a documentary on Bill Walton recently. You get that bone sort of issue there with your foot. We have had other guys with the Broncos with foot issues. That Liz Frank, she's a crafty person. And, you know, it just crushes you. You have that bone damage in your ankle area. Who knows? We saw J.D. Walton here in Broncoland. Broncoland, welcome to Broncoland. And he started and played like every single game for years and years and years. He had a foot injury, bone injury, and it was more or less the end of his career. So, no, I don't blame the Broncos at all for offering Matt Paradis a one-year prove-it deal. I think if they had signed Billy Turner to basically play right tackle, they would have had more money for Matt Paradis in that one-year deal. But that was it. And I'm actually going to trust the Broncos on this one, Zach. They know Matt Paradis's medical history better than anybody.
And I'm going to piggyback off you just a little bit. I believe that the upgrade at right tackle, or the hopeful upgrade that I think I believe is coming, I believe the upgrade at right tackle at that position in the AFC West, at that position, is more significant than the potential downgrade from Paradis McGovern and at center.
By the way, I know it's a lot of money, I guess, for a right tackle, but I'll roll the dice with Juwan James over Jared Veldheer. I thought Veldheer was okay last year, but he's not the future. He's had tons of injury, and he was okay for what they needed for last year. With Juwan James, if it does work out, we're talking about a guy who could be here for 10 years.
Right. Well, not 10 years, but
why not?
He's 27 right now.
Okay.
He could have played right tackle until he's 37.
Sure, why not?
Well, look, that's not very realistic, but I get what you're saying. No! How many right tackles are in the league that are 37?
I don't know. Offensive linemen play forever sometimes.
All right.
They play a long time.
Okay, we can agree to disagree on that. But I agree with what you're saying. You're like, Juwan James is in the prime of his career. It's his first contract beyond his rookie contract.
Yeah, so that's an improvement?
I think it's a huge improvement. Look, there has been 11 right tackle play. Let me rephrase this. 11 players to start at right tackle since our guy, Orlando Franklin, walked out the door 5 years
ago. What was the market for Shaq Barrett?
1 year, $4 million.
Nothing. Well, not nothing, because Shane Ray right now has nothing. Brandon Marshall right now has nothing. So they dropped the ball on those guys? I don't think so. The Jeff Heuermann deal, okay, fine, but what did you want him to do? Did you want a good secondary, or did you want Jared Cook? Seriously, what did you really want? And maybe they are going after a tight end in the draft anyway, and so the Heuermann signing might actually make a lot of sense. Maybe because of his injuries, you got him at a discount. I know you don't love him, but he's going to be a blocking tight end, and Zach, they're going to figure it out in terms of tight ends to throw the ball to. It's not, the focus isn't really going to be on Jeff Heuermann.
Well, when you say that, you say they're going to figure it out with who to throw the ball to. What does that actually mean? And I don't want to get too far down the tight end rabbit hole again, but what does that actually mean? Like, who are those guys? Our room is
Jake
staying,
could be that
staying
guy.
The exact same. Yeah, he could.
Kuligali could be that guy.
But that's,
and you could, they could draft Hawkinson, and he could be that guy.
Now we're talking.
Well, either way, they could have that guy.
If your room stays the same, which it's looking like that's very possible with that all, you know, Big Ten injured room there with Fumagalli, Butt, and Heuermann. I'm just not expecting things to be drastically different at that position.
Well, nothing's perfect, and you can't solve it all in a year. And I still think the best way to address tight end is actually next year, period. Either through free agency or the draft next year. But, okay, fine, whatever. We'll see what they do. You can't do it all. But the secondary got better, right?
Sure did. In a big way.
Bradley Roby's on a one-year prove-it. I mean, it's a lot of money, one-year prove-it deal in Houston. But he's not on a multi-year deal. So you got better there. You'll take care of Chris Harris. He'll be fine. And now you've got linebacker to sort of figure out, which you have a lot of great options, probably through the draft. And unless they do something kind of quirky. Todd Davis got here in a very quirky way. You know, he's on, like, the practice squad for the Saints, and they got him relatively late, Zach. So who's to say that something else like that couldn't work out? So every single move the Broncos did made sense, and I'd throw the coaching staff in the offseason free agency period.
Sure. Coaching matters. That's
they got rid of one of the worst head coaches ever in Vance Joseph. They got rid of just a terrible defensive coordinator. They awesomely got out of the Gary Kubiak, you know, Rick Dennison, Brian Piriani, my kid cycle, which I think is awesome. That was like the greatest thing to me that happened, period. Talk about a cleansing. I mean, that was, I still can't believe that happened, but it was so great that it did.
We're moving on.
It's
a new day.
But how is this not an A offseason and an A free agency?
Well, I wanted to go back to that because when you actually look at the situation that the Broncos were in, with the money they had to spend, with issues on this football team that they had to address, what is the next level beyond that? Like, that was realistic.
That mean?
I think John Elway has done a great job, and I think I could argue that it may be John Elway's second best 365-day stretch of the position that he's in, considering the class that he brought in this past year, considering the decision to move on from Vance and all that entailed, Joe Woods, etc., the decision to bring in Vic Fangio and hit the reset button on the offense, bring in Rich Scangarello, and then the moves that he made in free agency, I think, and I slash hope, that we look back at this 365-day window and said, man, I know John struggled. He struggled in free agency and in the draft leading up to that point for the previous 3-4 years. But that window of time, boy, he got it right.
I hope that's the case. You know, that takes time to play out because the moves of you know, GMs really take a couple years to play themselves out one way or the other. So all the negative things you're seeing are basically terrible decisions that were made years and years and years ago. So, like, when they were winning the Super Bowl, they were also making terrible decisions. That's kind of the way it goes. That's how it plays itself out. But before they won the Super Bowl, they were making good decisions. Of course, a lot of those were shepherded by, you know, Brian Sanders, another GM. So your true mark isn't what you do as a GM necessarily that year, but what you can build and develop.
Sure.
Like, the Nuggets are going to the playoffs because of a philosophical approach they've taken to things years ago. It wasn't just this year. It was like Jokic isn't a rookie this year. You know, Jamal Murray isn't a rookie this year. They're taking time to build. So the true mark measures itself out down the road. And because the bar was set so low, for example, everybody thinks this is like the greatest draft in the world. Well, yeah, I mean, compared to what you were doing, I mean, compared to why you destroyed the franchise, how you destroyed the franchise, sure, now you look like a genius. So it's I'm going to still say John Elway is the Tim Tebow of management. If you want to say he's great, there's a good argument. If you want to say he's terrible, there's a good argument. Something right there in the middle. And hopefully at the end of the day, you're winning a game.
How about a current Bronco who today predicted the Broncos would be back in the playoffs and put a bit of a guarantee tone to it? I'll tell you who said what next.
You're listening to The Drive on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
A playoff prediction in March. That's true. Jeff Hierman, during an interview with Mike Kliss today, he was asked if Broncos are a playoff team this year. Quote, yes, write it down. Yes, end quote. Kind of bold for a team that has won 11 total games in the last 2 years, but their Hierman is sort of sounding like Von Miller before a Cardinals game. Write it down. Put
write
it up
it
there.
Yeah.
Von said, put it up there.
I am going to block so awesome and catch 1.2 passes a game. I mean, get ready for my 3 touchdowns this year, maybe.
Oh, three would be a career high.
I know.
I'd sign up for it.
Well, they gave me the new contract. I got to get the 3.
He's got 4 total career touchdowns, so that'd be...
I'm telling you, it'd be a heck of a year. Yeah.
Kidding aside with Hierman, and there's a lot to there's a lot of material there. And Hierman's not going to say, like to that question, hey, are the Broncos a playoff team in 2019?
Jeez, I think, I mean, I don't know.
Not.
I don't think so.
Probably not. Have you seen us? Have you seen us lately?
Are we being real?
So,
yeah, what's he going to say? So good for him.
But
you should always say that.
But he did say it emphatically.
Good for him. I'm fine with it. It was at his press conference today. It's all good. It's all good. They need a blocking tight end for the type of offense they're going to run, which is a kind of a throwback zone blocking scheme. And he's going to be that guy. So he's a starter. You know. But when they, you know, and we'll see. We'll see what else they do on tight end. There's more good arguments being made for Hockenson, by the way. That's for sure. And in free agency, we looked it up today. It's Jared Cook and then, like, nothing.
You're talking about Jared Cook, Austin Seferian Jenkins, Tyler Eifert. Like, and by the way, Eifert re-signed with the Bengals. Thank you, sexy. But like, when you went to like one of your sites, it's like Walter Football.
Love Walter Football.
When you went to Walter Football 2 weeks ago, mm-hmm. and you looked at like the best available tight ends, Jeff Hierman wasn't on the list.
Yeah, but if they were evaluating tight ends who could block in a zone blocking scheme the way that, you know, Mike Munchak wants to establish it, then where would he be at an affordable price? He'd probably be right there at the top. So for the Broncos, for their needs, Zach, Hierman makes a ton of sense. And for Hierman, who I don't know what his value would have been out on the free agent market, the Broncos are probably more or less top shelf. And he's had a ton of injuries here, and he just got married. You know, this all makes sense. It all makes sense. It's not a, you know, break the bank sort of contract, but for him, it's good.
Yeah. I
mean, for the Broncos, it's good.
$9 million for two seasons.
Pretty
for,
cool. I'd like to make that.
For Jeff Heuermann, who, yeah. you know, isn't one of the 25 best tight ends in
football. That's right. That's right.
I mean, gosh, that's a great deal for Heuermann.
It's a great deal for Heuermann. He's a big dude. He'll catch footballs, you know, at a moderate pace. He'll do a lot of blocking on the offensive line. And what's wrong with that? It's okay. It's not spectacular, but it's okay. And I'm more than okay with them saying we're going to make the playoffs. Oh, who on the Broncos is going to say we're not going to make the playoffs?
Nobody.
Who's that going to be?
Nobody. Nobody.
So,
but is this...
It's all good.
I guess what I want to ask you is, in relation to what Heuermann said, quote, yes, write it down, yes. How realistic is it? Like... The league itself is set up for teams like the Broncos to bounce back and get back in the playoffs.
Yes.
If you look at the landscape of the league, do you know how many teams were in the playoffs this year that weren't in it the previous year?
No, how many?
Seven.
What?
I mean, seven different organizations, fan bases, weren't in it the previous year and were right back in it the next year. How realistic is it for the Denver Broncos?
They're very realistic. It's you can turn things around quick in the NFL. You can... I don't know. I think 3 years is enough time to more or less go back to the playoffs and change things all around.
Are you counting the last couple of years in that 3 years?
Yeah. You know, when Tom Nalen was the year, it was like, they were rebuilding. We just didn't know it. And, you know, maybe he's right. You know, we were fooled that, oh, the no-fly zone. That was the first thing after the Super Bowl. Oh, the no-fly zone, so special. Well, we can't, you know, can't mess with that. So, you know, let's play Trevor Siemian because, oh, you know. Don't want to develop Paxton Lynch, even though we drafted him in the first round, stupidly, in the 20s. Don't do that. But, oh, we can't mess with it. It's so special. Mistake. It wasn't that special. And then you went 9-7, right? So, you know, whatever. You're sitting at 8-7. You can't make the playoffs. And Gary Kubiak saying, oh, yeah, we'll play Siemian and Lynch. Oh, no, no, no. We're not going to play Lynch. Because this game is so important. Because all my assistants are about to get fired, Zach. And I'm quitting. Because of my health reasons.
Were those air quotes on the mic?
Those were. That's what that was, air quotes, so everybody could hear it. So, yeah, that whole malarkey. And then you hire a wholly unqualified coach to be your head coach. And you don't have a quarterback, again, because you're unwilling to, you know, commit to your guy. And then it's just the pit of misery. Just terrible. So we already went through that sort of rebuilding phase. You would hope the speed of that would be heightened greatly by a quarterback who knows what he's doing and has experience, which we have with Joe Flacco. So, yeah, I think they should be in the playoffs this year. Why wouldn't they be in the playoffs this year? You can have three teams from one division in the playoffs.
Oh,
it happens all the time.
Sure.
So you can have the Kansas City Chiefs at 14-2 and the Chargers at...
11-5.
11-5, and the Broncos at 10-6. You can do it.
Could happen.
Yeah.
Could happen.
Yeah, which would be great.
Can I just get one little thing off my chest really quick?
Of course.
That this idea of the no-fly zone 2.0, I have seen that everywhere. We're running promos here on The Fan of, is it the no-fly zone 2.0? Dude. If Paul McCartney went on tour with three other guys, we wouldn't call them the Beatles. This is wholesale changes. This is brand new. You don't get to acquire a nickname by proxy. Go on and play well.
Are you seriously comparing a Broncos secondary to like the greatest band of all time?
Well, the Broncos secondary was
Fly Zone was like for like a 3-year period. It was a fun little nickname.
Well, believe it or not, the Beatles weren't the Beatles for that long either. I mean, they came to America in '65 and were done by 71.
Oh, they still play Beatles songs on the radio now, there, Zach.
Well, yeah, no kidding. We still watch film of the Super Bowl on NFL Network.
I don't. Do you? Do you break that down?
You get
a little tear coming down. Like, how awesome that was.
I'm saying, like, the fact that we would attach a nickname for a group that was number one pass defense in the league for consecutive years and went for a third year, which had never been done before, and then because one guy is still around that we're going to, like, throw whoever in there and say, hey, no-fly zone 2.0.
Who wants to call it the no-fly zone? Does Chris Harris want to call it the no-fly zone?
I think so. He said, as long as I'm here, it's the no-fly zone.
Oh, okay.
I was like,
well, maybe he's got a t-shirt deal or something.
You know, maybe. But I'm just not a fan of slapping nicknames. Go out and play well. Maybe we'll give you a new nickname.
It was a cool nickname.
It was a great nickname.
But it's done. It's over.
It is done. It is over.
Think of another nickname.
Hey, you're speaking my language here. Think of another one. Go be great and then get the nickname.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, do something else that's cool.
And I think that the no-fly zone in time should go up there in the ring. Like,
you know, that'd be awesome.
You don't need to like put like individual guys. If you know, you know.
Would Chris Harris go in the Ring of Fame?
Sure.
Definitely. Would Aqib Talib?
I don't think so.
Really? I think so.
He may. I just don't. I mean, I don't think he had spent enough time here. How many years was he here?
I don't know. The whole, like, you got to be here 4 years, I guess. But I think it would be amazing if they put TJ Ward, Darian Stewart, Chris Harris, and Aqib Talib all in the Ring of Fame on the same day.
Oh, like all individually?
Like it's that's the no fly zone. The four of them.
I think it'd be kind of badass to just put no fly zone up there.
And
if you know, you know. Like if you watched them play, you know who the members were. Just like it doesn't need to be like Paul, Ringo, George. The Orange Crush defense is not up there. But that's a whole defense. This is like sort of a category within the defense, I guess. I don't know. I wouldn't be a fan.
I wouldn't be. I know what you're saying, and it's not a bad idea. Like in the stadium itself, it'd be pretty cool to recognize some area as the Orange Crush defense. I'm not exactly sure what that would be. I think the Ring of Fame is for individuals, but I'm not against like you know doing something to. Hey, let's build a statue, dude. I love statues. Let's build an Orange Crush statue. Let's build a no fly zone. Statue. How badass would that be?
Why doesn't John have a statue yet?
Let's build John a statue. He deserves one.
If Peyton already has a statue and he's been retired for, you know, 4 years
or
3 years.
Let's build Peyton a statue. Let's have statues all over the damn place. I think that would be awesome.
I'm with it.
Because these are there's only three championships that we're talking about. You know, it's awesome to memorialize those three championships. And more or less what we just said there, I think, is how most people identify those championships. John Elway, TD's already in the Hall of Fame. He's already in the Ring of Fame. And yeah, John should get a statue. Of course he should. That's an awkward thing to do, though, as president of the team.
If you're, like, there in charge.
Okay.
I'm going to give a thank you to John Elway.
You want to talk about pulling me a statue? What's up?
Well, that soundbite would become relevant.
Right. Let's talk about building me a statue. And then we'll get on to the our mock draft. All right, everybody in favor of building me a statue?
Who would say no?
Who would say no?
But it's actually warranted.
Who doesn't want to go with me to Necker Island next time? All right, ready? Everybody raise your hand. All in favor? All right. You didn't raise your hand. You're fired. This is the time to push it through. This would be the right time. It would happen.
I guarantee it. The minute that John steps away, you got to give him a statue. It's just whether he's in a suit or in a uniform.
Watch him come back and buy the team. Do whatever he wants.
He could.
Right?
He could. Someone's going to.
Be the big boss.
By the way, Aqib Talib, 4 years.
He's in.
With the Broncos. Hey, John Lynch is up there.
John Lynch is up there.
4 years.
They put nobody in last year. Poor Ed McCaffrey. Oh, boy.
What is up there?
I don't know. That's a weird one. Ed deserves to be in there.
For sure. For sure. Like, yeah. Unequivocally, Ed, that's Ed deserves to be up there.
I don't get it.
All right. Mark Schlera says...
What's up with him?
It's no time for the Nuggets to take their foot off the gas.
No. No, he's right.
It's your daily exclamation mark with Mark Schlera. Brought to you by Shomp BMW.
47-22. Tied for first place. That's your Denver Nuggets. Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. But I love the approach of the Nuggets. I love the teamwork. I love the atmosphere. I love the chemistry. I love the deflection. When people talk to Michael Malone about being coach of the year, he's talking about equipment guys. He's talking about security guys. He's talking about the team. He's talking about everybody other than himself. And that's the key to a great championship organization. When you care more about those that you play for and the people on that staff than you care about about yourself. And that's the special thing the Nuggets have going right now. And I'm telling you what, I love the approach last night. Hey, you won. We're going to celebrate tonight, but we're not done yet. We're not going to celebrate this thing with champagne. We'll celebrate with beer, for crying out loud, because we still have a ton of work to do. So for the Nuggets, man, this is great. Don't let off the gas. Keep the pedal to the metal. Don't let anybody chase you down. Don't let anybody take you away from the goal of being that number one overall seed, because I think it's important. Home court is important. The way you play, the style with which you play in the Mile High City is important. And I tell you what, just congratulatory shout out to the Denver Nuggets. Keep doing what you're doing when you're getting them tennies on the hard court.
Mark Schlereth and Mike Evans tomorrow morning at 6 on Denver Sports Station 104.3 The Fan.